During the children's moment, I did a word study of sorts on the word blessing. I'd also like to do a brief word study on the word vision. Usually, when we hear the word vision as it relates to church or religion, it often has a connotation of a mission and vision statement. In other words, our interpretation of God's plan for a given congregation. I had the opportunity during my internship to observe a session rewrite its congregation's mission statement. It was a 3-day long retreat in which the elders prayed and discussed and tried to discern what God's vision was for the future of that congregation. What were its core values, and how did the people intend to live out their faith in the community? That's one way to think of vision. Then there are other faith communities who hear the word vision and think of the ways in which God is still communicating directly to individuals today through various forms of dreams or images or even words. These individuals might say things like, "God told me in a vision." Sometimes these visions come to people when they are in the Spirit, speaking in tongues or interpreting events that point to prophecies or hidden meanings. I don't have to ask which kind of vision we Presbyterians are most comfortable discussing. We're an orderly sort who like to think logically with educated and informed decisions and actions. Very few of us, I think, feel that we have truly had a vision directly from God. We're more comfortable scoping out false prophets than hearing prophecies. Now, hear me out, though. I affirm that the Holy Spirit works in many ways and speaks to people through many forms, and I wholeheartedly believe that our system of governance makes room for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I also believe, however, that our attempts to script out God's vision for us in succinct mini paragraphs that are not the same as receiving a vision from God directly, especially in the ways God reveals himself to people in Scripture. I have twice in my life been gifted with a direct vision from God, times when I felt that God spoke directly to me, though not in audible words. I cannot explain it, other than knowing in the deepest part of me that it was from God, that it was of God and not of myself. I genuinely hope for each of you that you will have at least one opportunity in your life to receive a direct message from God, in whatever form that vision takes. This sermon, however, is not meant to be that vision, but a preparation for its arrival. We're talking this morning about visions of blessing. And these visions are presented to us through the stories of Paul and Lydia, through John's vision in the book of Revelation, and through the words of Jesus Christ as witnessed by the gospel writer John. These are visions of who God is, who we are called to be as followers of Christ, and what we will choose to do with the blessings that God bestows on us. First, we need to know who God is. For this, we look to John's vision in Revelation. Now, this form of vision literature in Scripture is full of symbolism. I could spend hours picking apart each little detail, but I'm still catching my breath from descending those stairs after the anthem. And yes, I need to get in better shape. So I'll just stick to some key points. Notice that there is no temple in the heavenly city of Jerusalem. There is no need of it. If the temple embodies God's presence in the world, where he communes with his creation, then God is the temple in John's vision. Similarly, there is no sun or moon to shine on the city, because God is the only source of light that is needed. His radiance shines on everything, illuminating the whole world. Then we have the river of the water of life with the tree of life and its 12 kinds of fruit, one for each month. And then the leaves provide healing for the nations. 12 represents the perfect number and is represented in the 12 tribes of Israel or in the 12 disciples. It's also where the number of saved people comes from in Revelation. 144,000, Leif, I'm going to do math, is 12 times 12,000. So perfect times perfect. So our first vision of God is that he is present, he is light, and he is life. We are blessed with God's presence in our lives. He is always with us. We don't need a temple or a church to experience God's presence. Although being part of a faith community is really important too, but that's a different sermon for a different day. God can and does speak directly to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear him. He was and is and will continue to be the light of the world. Wherever there is evil, God's love shines into the darkness, making a way for people to come to him. God is life and blesses us by providing perfect nourishment for our souls as we continue to grow in our faith. That is who God is. And because of who he is, God chose to take on human flesh and reveal himself to us further in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us a vision of what it means to be blessed by God and called by God to be a follower of God's Son. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And he gives peace unto us. Then Jesus promises that we will be blessed with the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will teach us and remind us all that Jesus has told us. To be called by God, to be blessed by God, is to hear or see or feel the Holy Spirit guiding us on our faith journey. The temple of God, the seat of God's presence in the world, is God himself in the form of that Holy Spirit who moves and breathes with us and within us. That is our greatest blessing. And with that, I will misquote Spider-Man. With great blessing comes great responsibility. The visions of blessing that we receive from God require a response from us. If God, the light of the world, revealed to us in Jesus Christ and present with us and within us in the form of the Holy Spirit, if this triune God blesses us, then it is for us in turn to be blessings to others. There is purpose in our blessing. Yes, blessings often bring prosperity and show God's favor, but blessings from God also require sacrifice of self. Visions of blessing inspire action on our part. For Paul, it meant going to Macedonia and preaching to women. For Lydia, it meant opening her heart and her home. What will it mean for you? With what gifts God has blessed you, what have you done to bless God for those gifts? How will you continue to use God's gifts to bless others? May you have eyes to see and ears to hear the many ways that God is speaking to you, and may you be a reflection of God's light and life in a hurting world. What a blessing that would be. Amen.